Sing your praise and your love in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading is from Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. From there he set out and went away to a region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of origin, and she begged him to cast a demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Here is that reading. The second reading is Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings and hearings of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who he valued very highly, and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us. And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Pastor had asked also for the reading or sermon, and he sent me a list, and it was titled "Strangers No More." He gave me the freedom to change it and said I could do whatever I wanted. I'm choosing just to read his words. So, just like a high school science kid, I'm going to let someone else do the work. So these are pastor's words. "Strangers No More." We read in the book of Acts that Peter was asked to come to the homes of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a military officer, so that Cornelius may hear what he had to say. Yes, this is what it says in the Bible. So Peter comes, tells of Jesus and the gospel, and winds up baptizing the entire household. That caused some consternation amongst the Christians, and still based in Jerusalem, who called Peter home to explain himself. Cornelius, you see, is about as much of an other as you can imagine. Gentile, Roman, officer of the occupational force in Palestine. When he comes, this is their question. "Why did you go to the uncircumcised man and eat with him?" Did you catch that? It wasn't the preaching, not even the baptisms. It was the sharing of the meal. In much of the biblical times, acceptance was marked by table fellowship. In another story, the story of Joseph in Egypt, during a famine, Joseph's brothers came to buy food. When it was time for the meal, Joseph is served by himself, his brothers at a separate table, and the Egyptians yet at another, because we are told the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews. For that is the abomination to the Egyptians. And when Jesus met with the Samaritan woman at the wall, the story explains to the reader, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. The ministry of Jesus was startling, shocking, offensive, because he failed to recognize or respect the lines that had been carefully defined. Those who tried to understand him, who thought they were willing to tolerate him, were continually perplexed. To be sure, Jesus himself learned that as he went about in his life, but he was quick to learn his mission and his visions were for the unity of all. It included the Gentiles, that is, anyone not Jewish, the Romans, the identifiable enemy, and the Samaritans. As we have heard last week, those were the weird both ethnically and in their religion. In the book of Acts, we see more than one place that the first Christians, who themselves had grown up Jewish, had to struggle to get on board with what Jesus lived and the way he taught. But he had his instructions, his great commission. Luke's wording is slightly clearer. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It includes the families in the neighborhoods with strangers and who might otherwise be seen as threats. All around us are people who are market paranoia, trying to persuade us around every corner, and maybe even the next door are people who are dangerous and against who we might protect ourselves. But most of that is an illusion. There are few who would do us harm, and a great many who need acceptance, understanding, care, and compassion. For many, simply a sign of respect and a community. The followers and servants of Christ, welcoming is our mission. As St. Paul writes, welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you. In obedience to the gospel commission, the church has gone on reaching out not only to strangers, but including suspicious and hostile strangers. Father De Smet reached out to the tribes in this area. Lutheran ministers made an effort to reach out to the Sioux and the Cheyenne in eastern Wyoming, though they gave up when two of their four were killed. But the point is that even in the spite of real enemies, perceived enemies, and unfair people and cultures, disciples in every generation have lived out the convictions of Christ where the world was for the unity of all. Because none are outsiders in Father's love, none beyond the grace and forgiveness of Christ, we continue to pray and seek our lives in prayer for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all. Let us pray to the Lord. May that prayers never cease. Amen. Here ends his sermon. The light shines in darkness,
and the darkness has not overcome it. An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. You shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High."
Thank you.
Passes all understanding, and that they will live to your gospel of mercy and justice through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless our God. Praise and thanks to you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.